I'm going to tell you, when I became pastor about 20 years ago, and there's so many things they don't teach you at the seminary. And so I remember one of the first times I had to do hospital visits, and it was really tough for me. It was rare that my family went to the hospital for a celebrative moment. It was never good, right? And a hospital was where a lot of painful things happened, in my family. And I remember one of the first times going to the hospital, and I was so nervous about it. And I don't know what you do when you get nervous, but when I get nervous, I talk. And when your talk is motivated by nervousness, you say foolish things. Anybody with me on that? So I remember I get in the elevator, and there's several people in the elevator. And of course, it's a hospital elevator, so what's everybody doing? They're not saying anything, right? And that makes me even more nervous, and I just want to kind of just break that. And so this person comes into the elevator wheeling this piece of equipment. And I get the bright idea that I'll just kind of break the silence, and I look at that person, and I say, well, I'd hate to be hooked up to that. And they looked at me and said, it's a floor cleaner. To which I responded, well, that's exactly why I'd hate to be hooked up to it. Idiot, right? And I get to the room I'm going to, and there's a family in the room, and I'm supposed to be there to pray. And, I was just such a young pastor, I wasn't exactly sure what to pray. I mean, do you just pray for healing? Or, is a family kind of at the point where they're praying God would take them home? I just didn't know, and I prayed the most half-hearted, weakest prayer that you've ever heard in your life, right? But I'm a pastor, and I am praying, and when I'm praying, there's a certain amount of respect that, I think is due even a young, foolish, ignorant pastor. But there's this woman with the family. It was a beautiful African-American lady. She was in her probably mid-60s, and I became very frustrated with her because as I'm praying, she's just saying stuff. Actually, it was just one line. And I'd pray a couple sentences of my half-hearted prayer. Lord, just heal this person. Whatever your will is, just the weakest prayer. And then she'd say, part the waters, Lord. And that happens sometimes. And when you're preaching, it's really fun to preach, when people are going, amen, hallelujah. People are saying things, unless somebody yells out like they did one time when I was preaching, help him, Jesus. And I continue to pray, and she just continues. And I pray louder because I think that will shut her up, right? But she just gets louder. Oh, part the waters, Lord. And I'm like, part what? I mean, there's no water, right? I mean, come on. I've been trained, ma'am. This is a prayer I got out of a book. Part the waters. It would take me years to understand that very simple prayer. Take me years to understand what that really meant. As we look at the big five today, obviously we're going to talk about prayer, but I want to kind of take us through a passage that I would say most of us, a lot of us in here, are super familiar with. I mean, this moment we're going to look at today was one of the most amazing moments, not just in Israelite history, but in Christian history. It was a moment where God moved so powerfully. And don't you want God to move so powerfully for something in your life? I anticipated the excitement and the enthusiasm would keep me from falling to the next step. I mean, think about this. Don't you really want God to, now don't answer, just let me illustrate this. Don't you really want to see God move powerfully some way in your life? Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to go to old Charlie's after this. Turn with me, just forget it. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 13. In this moment, I'm just going to give you just a little bit of background that you probably know, but just to kind of lead into this. The Israelites had been in captivity for hundreds of years by the Egyptians, right? I mean, they were basically the slaves of the Egyptians. And you can imagine that probably early on in that captivity, God had already promised deliverance, right? That they wouldn't always be the slaves of the Egyptians, that deliverance was coming. Anybody ever feel like God has told you with whatever you're going through, deliverance is coming? Say amen. And so we hear that, right? God has spoke, right? Well, I don't know when it happens. You know, I've heard theologians say that maybe hundreds of years later, the Israelites finally are like, it's not going to happen. Or the ones who were there early on praying that, they had died off in time, but at some point, and I'm thinking 200 years, I mean, that's where I get after 3 days, right? After three, God, you said deliverance, where is it? You know, I don't want to live in this forever. And God's like, it's been 3 days, Ward. God had promised deliverance. And what we're going to read about this morning is that moment when deliverance came, right? God sends Moses back to Pharaoh's palace. And Moses says those famous words to Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh refuses. And so then the plagues come, right? The evidence that God is with the Israelites. And much trouble comes to the Egyptians. And finally, after the last plague, Pharaoh relents and he lets the people go. It's this incredible moment. And I want us to pick up in Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. That's page 69. Oh, come on, people. That was funny. Now that's funny, all right? This is what the Bible says. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. We miss something that's really powerful here. Let me at least say, I have always missed something really powerful there. Because I want to get to that moment, right? The big moment. And so I kind of gloss over what is said. And in glossing over, I miss some powerful things that God wants to show me. And so one of the things this week that just, I mean, captivated me was verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. Anybody ever caught that? Did you get that? There is probably, you know, half my frustration with God. God says, Jamie, here's where we're going to go. And I'm like, great. I know exactly how to get there, God. There's a shortcut by the outhouse. We'll make a left. You know, that's me. I want to get there the shortest way. But for some reason, okay, and I don't believe it's by mistake, God purposefully wants us to know that the road he took the Israelites on was not the short route. And God even says why it wasn't the short route. You see, if we go the short route, we're going to have to go through some rugged terrain, some difficult times. There's going to be an army. There's going to be a war. But where the Israelites are at this point, they couldn't handle that. The Bible says that God said just the fear of that, what would they want to do? Go back to Egypt. Go back to Egypt. And there's something about that. Songs have been written about that. Why would they want to go back to Egypt? It's because after all those centuries in captivity, captivity held for them a strange comfort. And let me tell you when that happens. When you begin to lose your hope and lose your trust in God, then you find strange comfort in the captivity that you're in, right? And even though you know it's not good, even though you believe there's probably something better, you just don't believe it's there. But God promised deliverance and he would give them nothing less. But at this point where they're at, they could not handle the fear of war. If they go the short way, there's war. And God takes them the long way. And what's the temptation of the long way? It's to grow weary, isn't it?
Anybody ever been weary? Raise your hand. Oh, you just get tired, right? But there's something I don't want us to miss here. Something that is so important. And that's this. God takes them the long way to build the character that they would need for the place that he's taking them to. Character had to be built. And since the Bible said that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, that means he's willing to take me and you the long way so that that character is built. And let me tell you something. Character is something incredibly lacking in our country today. And people aren't into character. You know why? Because character takes time and adversity. And we think time is our most precious commodity, so we only want to use it on the things we enjoy. And since we don't enjoy adversity, we spend our lives avoiding it, which doesn't build character. And what God wants to do is to build character. And he's so committed to making us like Jesus. He will take us the long way, the difficult way, through the tough places, right? Because he says clearly, we're not going the short way because you're not ready for that. Because what would be involved in the short way, your character is not prepared for. Now, this frustrates me, right? Because when I say it's epidemic in our culture that people want to use their time on what they enjoy and they don't enjoy adversity, listen, I'm not talking about the culture as much as I'm talking about me. Who enjoys adversity? Who enjoys difficult times, difficult places? But what the Bible says is that God will take us the long way. And when we're going the long way, you begin to wonder, is God ever going to bring the deliverance that he promised? Is God ever going to move in this situation? And what I hope you hear reverberating over and over in the back of your mind is that little prayer, that little phrase, part the waters, Lord. Part the waters. Some of you have come this morning and your eyes never lit up until I talked about the long way and how you get tired. And some of your eyes, you kind of perked up and you looked up and you thought to yourself, I'm on the long road. Oh, that's where I'm at. And then I say, and you can grow tired on the long road. And you thought, oh my gosh, I'm tired. And it's on the long road. You can begin to lose some hope and lose some trust. And then you find a strange comfort in the adversity that you're in the midst of. The Israelites weren't in captivity all those years so that captivity would be comfortable. They were in captivity all those years so that they would hunger to no longer be a captive. You see, the Bible isn't I've heard people say that the Bible is a survival handbook. It's not. God doesn't want us to merely survive. He wants us to thrive. Jesus said, I've come so you can have life and have it to the full, to have it abundantly. All survival. Listen, that's just a place we get to because the road is long and the road is hard and we just want to survive. God doesn't want us to survive. He wants us to thrive. But it takes the long road to develop the character that he wants us to develop, right? For us to be more like Jesus, he takes the long road to build those things in us along the way that we're going to need for the other places that he's going to take us. Because if you say that you want to be right where God wants you to be, I'm going to tell you, you're probably going to need a lot more than you have for those places. And so God hasn't given up on you. God hasn't stopped working. He's merely taken you the long way, so that you'll have what you need for the assignments that he's going to give you. Isn't that powerful? I pray that ministers to somebody this morning. That somebody had come saying, I'm so tired. I know God said he'd bring deliverance, but I just don't see it. And you're beginning to lose hope, and you're beginning to get tired. And all you do when that happens, all you can do is just to begin to trust yourself. Because what did he say would be the thing that would afflict them if they went the short way? Fear, right? And fear is the evidence of a lack of trust in God. How do I know that? It's not even 10:30. How do I know that? How do I know that fear is the evidence of a lack of trust in God? Because I get scared sometimes. I fear. And what happens is I just begin to doubt if God's going to bring the deliverance that he promised that he would bring. And in the back of my mind, I hear that woman kneeling next to that hospital bed saying, "Part the waters, Lord. Part the waters, Lord." Moving on here in chapter 14, I want you to listen to this. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pi Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert." Has that ever jumped out to anybody? Those verses I just read? They hadn't to me before. And then I started thinking about it. And I always like to, you know, see the humor in some of the things that God shares. Here's the humor of this, right? Because at some point, Moses, who's listening to God, telling the people, "Okay, listen, we're going to go back." Now, mind you, they're running from the Egyptian army, right? The Egyptian army's hot on their trail. They're running away from them. Moses says, "Hey, wait, everybody... a million plus people. Hey, everybody, turn around. We're going to go back and we're going to go this way." And guess what's this way? The ocean. Right? And you know there were some Israelites, they just weren't willing to separate from the other million, but they're like, "I'm telling you, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my life. There's an ocean there, people." Now, the only thing that stands between the Egyptian army and the ocean is us, right? But that's exactly what God wants them to do. Let me tell you something about that. Several things that God shared with me about it. God, as you go on the long road, God will take you to these places where your physical ability, your human wisdom will have no merit in those places. They won't matter. It won't matter how smart you are, but I got good news for the rest of you. It won't matter how dumb you are, right? It won't matter how strong you are or how weak you are. God is going to hem you in where all you can do is trust him. At this point, those who had not yet put their trust in God were just simply deciding how they wanted to die. At the hands of the Egyptians or drowning in the ocean. That was their only options, right? And yet, there they are. They didn't get there by mistake. They didn't get there by accident. God purposefully led them to a place where all they could do is put their hands up and say, "Lord, part the waters. Part the water." Some of you this morning, you are in that place. Your spouse is gone. They've left. You've said everything you know to say and then some. You've done everything you know to do and then some. It's not even in your hands anymore. There's nothing else that you can do or say except, somebody say it, "Part the waters, Lord. Part the waters." Some of you are here, you've been praying for that kid, right? You've been praying for that kid for 10, 20, 30 years. God has told you deliverance is coming and you just keep praying, right? But you're at a place where there's nothing else you can say. That kid's heard everything you've got to say. And they're sick of hearing it at this point, right? That kid pretends to love the place that they're in. There's nothing you can do. Thank God you quit sending money years ago. That's a good thing, right? You quit offering a room for that kid to stay in to just come and take a reprieve from ruining their life. And now you're just in a place where you got the Egyptian army and you've got the ocean. And all you can pray on behalf of that kid is what? Part the waters, Lord. Part the waters, Lord. And I could just go example after example. So many of you are here this morning, and that's where you're at. I want to tell you something. I mean it as an encouragement, though I understand it might not be taken that way. God's promised deliverance. And I'm just telling you to hang on. You're on the long road. God is building things in you. And you know what he's ultimately building? A trust in him that will overcome anything that this life throws at you. A trust in him. That's what gets built at every place. Listen, most of you in here, you can think back to when you were in a place like that. You can remember the discouragement of that place. You can remember all the things of that place. But what you definitely can remember is when deliverance came. When God came through, when God did what? Come on, somebody say it. Parted the waters, right? And so you're trusting in him. There's nothing else you can say, nothing else you can do. All you can do is look up to the heavens and say, Lord, part the waters. Your trust is in him. God has led the Israelites right to this place where some of them think they're stuck, but some of them are beginning to believe that a miracle is going to happen. Finally, I want to read this in chapter 14, beginning, and this print gets smaller, verse 8. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, horsemen, troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal-Zephon, right? God had told Moses, have them go back, get there by the ocean. There's no place they can go. It's at that place that the Egyptians overtake them. Then listen to this. Moses answered the people, because the people said, why didn't we just stay in Egypt? We had meals there. There was daylight there. We had a few hours outside, albeit working, but, you know, at least we were alive. We weren't in fear of our lives. The Egyptians weren't going to kill us. We were doing all their work. We at least knew we were going to be able to live. But you know what God knew, what Moses knew, what you're doing? That's not living. That is not living the way God has intended you to live. And so Moses is trying to answer the people, and this is what he says. The Lord said, or Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Oh, isn't it beautiful? Those moments where God says, be still and know that I am God. Aren't those beautiful, powerful moments in our walk? Well, I got to tell you, this isn't that moment. This isn't a be still moment. Even though Moses says the Lord will fight for you, you need only to be still. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. This isn't a time to be still. God says, trust me, move on. And I can see Moses, because he doesn't know what God's going to do. And he says, move. And everybody turns and looks at the ocean. They look back at Moses and they say, okay, where would you like us to move? And listen to this. Raise your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I remember a guy giving me the scientific explanation for the parting of the sea. He obviously didn't realize what an idiot I am. So I don't think I can even explain to you what he was saying to me. I just do what I always do when I don't understand. Oh, yeah, yeah, I know. And you're laughing because that's what you do. As I'm preaching, maybe you're going, oh, yeah, that's right. I know. And he was saying something about the tides and the way they hit, and that every so often there is this natural phenomenon where the tides hit and they actually divide. And he was saying, so it's not really a miracle, or it's a miracle of nature. And I looked at him and said, I didn't know that. Oh my gosh, it is a miracle. And he was like, why? The water was only 5 or 6 inches deep when that happened, so the Israelites could get across. I said, yes. And then God drowned 1 million Egyptians in 5 inches of water. It's a miracle. Moses didn't know what God was going to do, but he believed deliverance was coming. He never lost sight of that. And he led these grumbling people who weren't sure if that deliverance was ever coming. And God said to Moses, lift up your hand over the sea. And the waters parted. And the Israelites get through. The Egyptians are smashed and drowned. And God does this amazing thing. And this is why it took me years to understand that powerful prayer I heard in that hospital room. When that woman said, part the waters. Oh, it had such deep meaning. And it's such a powerful prayer, even for us to pray today. Because here's the deal. When she was praying, part the waters, she wasn't telling God what he should do. Everybody get that? Because part the waters, it's kind of generic, right? And I mean, unless you're at Barren River, obviously, and you're wanting to walk on dry ground. But that prayer, part the waters, because she's not telling God what to do. She's simply asking God to do what he said he would do. That deliverance was coming. Moses didn't know how it would come. Moses might have, you know, been thinking they're all going to walk on the water. I don't know what Moses, he didn't know how that deliverance would come, but he was faithful to do what God told him to do. And I'm going to tell you, if there's any incredible thing for us to really grasp and understand this morning, that's this. Just do what God tells you to do. You can't miss doing that. Oh, listen, if you're here, men, and you are married, just be the husband God's told you to be. Just love her. And don't say, well, you don't know her, and you don't know this. First of all, I do, right? You be the man God's called you to be. And if you're a father, oh, be the man that God's called you to be. Just do what he said. Love your wife, love your kids, wives. Just be the wife God's called you to be. Just love him, right? Just do the things God's told you to do. I meet with a man, and he just feels like he's not in love anymore. And so he's left. And I just want to fast forward that video for him. He'll leave, he'll divorce his wife, he'll meet another woman. It's wonderful for a week, and they run off, and they get married. And a year later, he's in the same boat. I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore. And I want to say to that guy, well, this is a third woman, and there's only one thing common in each of those marriages. It's you. You're the problem. So let me save you some money, some time, some heartache. Stay where you are and just be who God wants you to be. Listen to him. God said to Moses, lift your hand over the water and the waters will part. And Moses was faithful and obedient. Because here's the thing we have to understand. Moses didn't part the water. God did. God did it. And I'm telling you, and I believe that so much that I'll tell you this, if Moses wouldn't have done it, Aaron would have. The waters would have parted, though, because God parted the waters. Our trust has to be in him. When I say part the waters, Lord, listen, I always have an idea of what I want God to do. And I often even tell God, God, this is what I want you to do. This is how I want you to move. I'll tell you this, rarely does God do it my way because I always want the short road. But God wants me to get more out of the journey than that. And he takes me the long road. And he begins to build character. So if you're here this morning and it's your marriage, part the waters, Lord. If you're here this morning and it's that kid, part the waters, Lord. Maybe it's that difficult diagnosis, right? Part the waters, Lord. For me, it's me. Oh, God, part the waters. I want to encourage you. If you're in the beginning, the middle of the long road, He's going to part the waters. I don't know when. If I could tell you that, I wouldn't be here. I'd be on TV, right? But He's going to part the waters. Deliverance has come, and it may not look like what you want. It may not be exactly what you were hoping for, but I'm going to tell you, whatever it is, it'll be better than anything you could have imagined. Part the waters, Lord. Part the waters. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. Just bow your head this morning. I wonder how many of you would say, oh, I feel like I'm on the long road, and I feel like I've been there a while. I'm getting tired. Raise your hand. Wow. Hands everywhere. I wonder how many of you would say, I was on the long road for so long, but that deliverance finally came. Raise your hand. Oh, amen. How many of you would say, you know a marriage? It could be yours, it could be somebody else's, but you know a marriage where you're praying, part the waters, Lord. Yeah. How many of you know that kid? And you're praying over that kid, part the waters, Lord. Yeah. And I wonder how many of you might say this morning, I'm afraid to trust Jesus because I've been burnt by everybody I've ever trusted. But I just know I want to invite Him to come into my life, to be my Lord and Savior, for Him to forgive my sin. And that you'd be willing to pray that this morning, saying, oh, part the waters in my life, Jesus, and save me. Would you just lift your hand real quick? Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Everybody look up. We're going to have a time of altar where collectively we just come to this altar and we pray, part the waters, Lord, for whatever it is. Many of you raised your hand saying that you needed Christ in your life, that you need to be saved, your sin forgiven. When we have this time of altar, there's going to be a lot of people come and pray. I'm going to ask you to step out. Come and find me or one of these pastors and just tell them, I know I need to be saved this morning. Because here's the good news, none of us can save you. Only Jesus can do that. And what you're saying is, in my life, Jesus, part the waters. So let's stand together. Jesus, we love you. We need you. Lord, we get tired on the long road. We grow weary. I pray that we not faint, as the Bible would say. I pray we continue to trust. We continue to look up, and we just continue to pray, part the waters. I pray for deliverance, Lord, in all these situations and what people are going through, where they are just waiting on you. God, I know you're going to show up. And I pray you give them hope. And as we're on the long road, build our trust in you, build our faith in you, and build our love of you. And Lord, I pray that people be saved right here, right now, that you would save people. We love you, Jesus. Church, this altar is open. Don't wait. If you know you need to come, just step out now. Just come. Don't wait on anybody else. Grab somebody's hand. If you don't want to come alone, I promise you, it's Hillview. They'll come with you. But trust Him this morning. If you raised your hand and you said, I know I need to be saved, please come this morning and just ask Him. Call on Him to save you.